Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Well, by now you've probably heard that Uber CEO Travis Kalanick resigned late last night. And though he's still on the company's board, his ouster really feels like the almost inevitable conclusion to months of bad press and investigations into the company's machismo, toe-stepping, super-pumped workplace culture. Snarky air quotes there, for those were the corporate values espoused by Kalanick himself, which translated in reality to a company riddled with sexual harassment and discrimination. So this is a good thing, right? That the CEO of a troubled, enormous organization can be held to account. Well, some in the business media think so. The magazine Fast Company put up this celebratory blog post with the title, "Travis Kalanick's Uber Exit is Another Nail in the Coffin for Toxic Masculinity in Workplace Culture." Dude! Well, obviously, I'm dubious, and I added the dude there part. But let's get some actual perspective from one of Boston's business leaders, Jessie Mermel. She's president of the Alliance for Business Leadership, a nonpartisan coalition of CEOs and investors focused on sustainability and social responsibility. Jessie Mermel, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Magna. How many times can we say dude during this conversation?
Bruh, I don't know. Let's challenge each other.
Yeah.
A nail in the coffin for toxic masculinity in workplace culture, what do you think?
You know, I'd subscribe to that if Uber started out in 2009 with a culture that welcomed and embraced and was comfortable for women, people of color. You know, that would have been the real nail in the coffin, that such a huge company understood the value of taking that path and went there from the get-go. Don't get me wrong, I think that what's happened to Travis Kalanick is the right thing. But I'd be in a bit more celebratory of a mood if we were talking about how Uber came out of the gate embracing these values, because it wasn't just the right thing to do, but they also knew it was good for business.
I mean, isn't that the point here? Because it seems to me that Uber would not have found itself in the place that it is today if Susan Fowler, back in February, didn't have the courage to go public in a way where she not only described, you know, actions that she had experienced in terms of sexual harassment and terrible HR policies at Uber. But that blog post that she wrote that really blew the lid off of this talked about how the entire company really was just riddled with this stuff, and we wouldn't have known unless she had gone public.
And we have to imagine she was not the first, right? You know, Uber has been around since 2009. She came out a mere few months ago. She was not the first. She was just the first who found herself in a position to be able to come forward. And, you know, we all owe her a lot for that. That takes a great amount of courage, but no woman or employee of any stripe should have to feel that way in their workplace.
But so how much can change then if you know, Kalanick is out? There's obviously a bunch of other C-suite level folks who are out at Uber now. There's change afoot at the board, although Kalanick himself is still going to be at the board. I mean, is that enough to really change the culture of a workplace that was so, whose corporate identity was really built around this machismo? I mean, Susan Fowler was writing things like, you know, she was held to account by HR for complaints that she made. You know, an HR officer told her, you know, the commonality here is that you're the one making the complaints.
No, it's atrocious. And the idea that he's staying on the board is laughable. It makes me feel like they're maybe looking for the PR points of making this change than really internalizing a major culture shift. You know, they're going to need to bring in a CEO who is serious about creating a new culture in their company. We know that about 20 Uber executives have been fired over the past few months. They're going to need to make sure that any remaining bad apples are gone. And then they're going to need to get serious about changing their culture. And I think that's going to be really hard. In some ways, I have to point out, you know, I work with the Uber team here in Boston and have had nothing but wonderful experiences with a largely female and diverse leadership team. So, you know, I want to be careful not to paint every Uber employee with a broad stroke, but clearly the corporate culture at the top was incredibly toxic. And by the way, it's not just because, you know, it's a really bad thing and people's feelings are getting hurt. For as hard charging as Uber likes to think that they have been, they have inevitably left money on the table by creating a sexist, discriminatory, intolerant culture. Mm-hmm. All the studies bear out. that it is bad for business when you don't create an inclusive environment.
Well, I mean, Uber finally came out with its first report on employee diversity just this past March, and they found that report, again, from Uber itself, found that 36% of the company's employees, this doesn't include drivers, but 36% are women, 50% of the employees are white, 31% Asian, only 9% African American, and just under 6% Hispanic. I mean, honestly, that puts them right in line with the rest of tech, doesn't it?
But it's 2017, and for a company that claims to be on the cutting edge of everything, the fact that they were okay with being right in line with everyone else, but not okay with being right in line with everyone else in other areas of their job and their corporate culture, I think says everything.
Jesse, how much does what's happening at Uber, Kalanick being forced out by investors, no less, who I'm presuming saw the same things you were saying earlier, that it's just bad business to have corporate culture like this, but how much of this is going to possibly redound across the rest of Silicon Valley or business leadership as a whole? Are other CEOs going to look up and take note and say, maybe we ought to change how we do things too?
I hope so. I'm trying not to be cynical about this. I'm trying to bring some optimism to the situation. You know, there are a portion of business leaders who are motivated by what is simply the right thing to do. But for others, they need to see how this impacts their bottom line. And certainly what Uber has experienced over the past few months illustrates that in very, very clear terms. But the research has been abundantly clear for decades. You know, MIT reported in 2014 that offices with a 50-50 gender split saw their revenue go up by 41%. McKinsey has released multiple studies along these lines. So I hope that this is the giant frying pan that hits corporate America over the head and makes them wake up, because the information has been out there. They just need to have a light bulb moment and, you know, dude, fingers crossed that this is it.
I keep coming back to this idea again and again, though, and I couldn't let it go all day, Jesse, so help me set me straight here. We wouldn't have arrived here if one person, at least Susan Fowler, didn't have the courage to come forward. I mean, that's the thing that gets me. It's not like Uber is going through this giant, wonderful, noble act of self-examination out of the goodness of its own heart. It was forced to do this by a courageous woman.
I mean, tale as old as time, right? You know, this isn't a unique situation for Uber, both in terms of sexism in the workplace and in terms of requiring, you know, one person who in some way felt other feeling brave enough to come forward. And unfortunately, I don't think we're going to be seeing the end of those types of examples anytime soon. But yes, I don't know that that's a great answer for you, Meghna, but other than to say I completely and totally agree with you. We are not here because of some deep soul searching on the part of Uber or any other company. We are here because, you know, someone decided she couldn't take it anymore and wouldn't let her colleagues take it anymore and stood up for herself and on their behalf, and she should be roundly applauded.
Well, I keep coming back to this, Jesse, because, I mean, I guess it comes back. What I'm wondering is, it wasn't leadership that forced the change, right? It was someone who just couldn't take it anymore. And hopefully there will be other leaders out there who say, well, let's not risk that. Let's change our house right now. I mean, is that possible? I mean, is there a generational shift going on here? Is there, a growth in the recognition of the facts that you were talking about earlier about the strengths and business advantages that diversity brings? I mean, is there really change afoot more than my cynical, hard-bitten news reporter self is feeling right now?
Yes, but it is slower than it needs to be. You know, I can tell you that so many of the business leaders who we work with at the Alliance for Business Leadership feel this way, but the shift, as you pointed out, is noticeable from a generational perspective. These things typically don't have to be explained when I'm talking to, you know, a new CEO who's, you know, in their 20s or 30s and launching a startup. They totally get it. It's their values, and they understand, you know, the business value to doing these types of things. But I think it's going to take allies at all levels, and Susan has proved that, right? You're completely correct. This was not corporate leadership at Uber forcing this change. This was a woman smack dab in the middle of the company. And so women are going to have to stand up for themselves and for other women, but women and people of color are going to need, and by the way, people in the disability community, the LGBTQ community, we can go on down the list, are going to need people who don't look like them to be allies. Not that we need battles fought for us, but you need people to have your back and to amplify your message. And so we have to turn to leadership to help us make these changes, but we also have to turn to our allies and understand that we all need to wage this battle together.
So not quite a nail in the coffin yet.
A step in the right direction, but I'm not... I'm not going out for drinks to celebrate tonight.
Okay. Jesse Mermel helping, keeping it real here, dude.
Dude, thanks, Magnus.
Jesse Mermel is the president of the Alliance for Business Leadership, talking to us about the lessons from the resignation of Uber CEO Travis Kalanick. Jesse, thank you very, very much.
My pleasure.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.